So we have been on a journey during Advent talking about what does it mean to be Christmas. And each week we have taken one of the words that describes one of the virtues of Jesus, hope, joy, peace, and love. And we have been unpacking them so that we might be, that we might physically be hope, that we might be peace, that we might be joy to the world, because all we have to do is take a look around and see, you know, there's that old song, what the world needs now is love, sweet love, right? And that love flows from us, from Christ. And so when we have the opportunity to share the love of Christ with others by simply being hopeful, by simply being joyful, by simply being peaceful in this world that seems to have those things in such short supply, then we literally become Christmas to the world, that we become Christ to the world. And that's what Jesus had challenged us to do. He challenged us to go into the world, to share the good news, to talk about who he is and what he has done, to be Christ in the hope that the world might come to know him, because we believe that the Bible's true. We believe that Jesus is, that he alone is the hope of the world. We believe that Jesus is our joy, that Jesus is the one from which joy flows, that Jesus is our peace. And the reality is, until the world comes to know our Jesus, the world will never, ever be at peace. But there's a word. There's this word that describes the essence of Jesus. This word that describes the essence of this God who we worship, and it's the word love. And so tonight, I want to take just a couple minutes to talk with you about how do we be Christmas to the world, and how do we be Christmas in the sense of how do we understand this amazing love that God has for us. Because we believe that the joy and the hope and the peace that is offered at Christmas is based on the truth that God loves us. It really is that simple. That the essence of the gospel, the essence of the good news of Jesus, is that we are loved by God. In fact, God is absolutely crazy about us. We're told in John 3:16, you all know this. Even people who have really no concept of the Bible really have heard this verse before, that this is how God loved the world, that he gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. There is this scholar, author, theologian from the 17th century. His name is St. Francis de Sales. And I was first exposed to him a couple weeks ago from one of my professors in seminary who had posted this blog, who had posted this entry actually on his Facebook. He had been reading him and contemplating him. And so I've done a little searching and wanted to know who was this saint who so dramatically has influenced one of my professors who I hold in such high esteem. And St. Francis de Sales, in his writing, The Eternal Love of God for Us, has some profound things to say about this love of God. So profound that I had to share these with you tonight. So profound that I have written them down for you inside your bulletin. There's some message notes in there, and this quote is in there. And I want you to read this, and I want you to try to put your head and your heart around these words, and because I have to tell you, when I first read some of these words by de Sales, I was overwhelmed. Because we talk about God's love all the time. We really do. God loves us. God loves me. God loves you. You know, we talk about it that we actually, I think, get so comfortable with it that we don't really think about the profound nature of this love that God has for us. Look at what he says. He says, consider the eternal love God has borne for you. In that, get this now, even before our Lord Jesus Christ became man and suffered on the cross for you, his divine majesty designed your existence and loved you. When did he begin to love you? When he began to be God. And that was never, for he ever was, without beginning and without end. Even so, he always loved you from eternity. And he says through his prophet Jeremiah, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. Now get this, that before the world was even created, before the Christmas event, before those 6 days of creation when God said, let there be rocks and trees and cows and fish and whales, and before he did any of that stuff, he loved you and he loved me. That we were not an afterthought. That for all eternity, get that, for all eternity, God has loved you. And the desire of his heart is that you would respond to that. That you would say yes to embracing this love that not only promises as an eternity with him, but changes our reality here. You see, because what Jesus is really attempting to do, what the gospel, the good news of Jesus is really about getting heaven into people. That getting people into heaven, that's the byproduct. But God wants us to be so radically transformed and changed by his love, by his kingdom, literally coming to dwell within us, that our world is changed. The psalmist says that God knit us together in our mother's womb. We read these words that God has always, for everlasting, we often think of that word everlasting as being like into the future, right? Get this in your head. Like, let this just like rock your world. It is way before. Like, way before you were even a thought. You were loved by God. That you were loved by God. That as Ephesians 1:4 says, even before he made the world, God chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. That even before he made the world, God says, I love you and I want you to be with me forever. Like, isn't that crazy? I mean, doesn't that like blow the lid off your understanding of when somebody says, hey man, God loves you. Like, he not just loves you, like, before you were created, before the world began, he loved you. And he wants to be with you forever and ever and ever. Francis Chan refers to that as crazy love. I think that's a great word, crazy love, that this God loves us more than we can possibly imagine. But not just that. That God not only loves us, but as we have sang about, as we have the scriptures read, we are reminded that God is with us. I had a little surprise for my family because I had arranged for my father-in-law to come up and read the Luke passage to us. And it was really funny because today I was talking to my father-in-law, and my wife comes in and says, what's going on? I'm like, nothing. And she's like, what are you doing? I said, it's Christmas. Surprise. What? I'm like, no. Because I just wanted there to be, Christmas is filled with surprises, isn't it? Christmas, like when God comes and lives with us, like our lives are filled with surprises. God does exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or even imagine. He is with us. Matthew 1:23 says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. We read this in Matthew 1:23, but you need to understand that those words were actually written 700 years before the birth of Jesus by the prophet Isaiah. It was his way of saying, get ready. God is going to rock your world. Because he is going to step out of heaven and he's going to step onto earth. He not only loves you, he loves you so much he wants to be with you so that you might be with him. John 1:14 tells us that the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love. We read words so fast. Don't go over those words too fast. He is filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. You know what that means? There's no more. You can't add to it. Like, it is so full that it's literally overflowing. That is how much he loves us, with unfailing love and fullness. And it says, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. We have been walking our way through Hebrews before the Advent season began. We have been walking our way through this amazing book of Hebrews, trying to discover how to be the people that God wants us to be, how to allow the words of the pages from Scripture to help refine us and to define us and to tell us about this God who loves us so much. And in this book, we haven't even gotten to this chapter yet, so it's a little preview. In this book, chapter 13, verse 5, which is a quote from Deuteronomy that was written way long before Hebrews. He says, God has said, I will never fail you. He will never fail you. The reality is we fail God all the time. But God says, I will never fail you. As a matter of fact, Jesus echoes those words at the end of his earthly ministry, when he gets to the place where he's ready to send out his disciples, where he's ready to send you and me out into the world to share this hope, share this joy, share this peace, share this love, that our world might be changed. He says, be sure of this. Be sure of it. Have no doubt about it. Be absolutely certain. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God is with us. Oh come, Emmanuel. He's already here. The question is he here? He's here, but when we sing, oh come, Emmanuel, that should be the cry of our hearts. Oh God, come in me, indwell in me, live in me. Help me to experience this love and joy and peace and hope so that I might know you. Friends, God is crazy about you. He loves you forever. He is with you forever. He is with you because he is for you. God doesn't go, well, hey, like, you just figure that out. I love you. I'm going to step out of heaven, step onto earth so you might see me, so you might know me. But I'm not going to leave you there. I am for you. I want you to know me because I want you to know that I am for you. See, Romans 5:8 says that God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us. When we were perfect? No. Look what it says. While we were still sinners, that proves how much God is for us. He's like, even though you're like messing up your life, even though you are like going in the wrong direction, even though you are doing the things that you shouldn't do, saying the things you shouldn't say, going the places you shouldn't go, hey, I'm for you because I want to come in and die even while you're doing that stuff because that's how much I'm for you. And then we have these amazing words for Romans 8. What a spectacular chapter this is. These words should absolutely assure us how much God is for us. Because you know, as some of us, we might be here on Christmas Eve, and we might go like, you know, there's no way God could love me. Wrong. You might be thinking, yeah, but George, you have no idea what I've done. Wrong. You might be thinking, but you know what? I've done and I've been wrong. Hear these words. If that's you, and I know there's at least one of you in here tonight who are like, man, these words are for you because you need to hear this and receive this tonight. Check this out. The Apostle Paul moved from the most adamant persecutor of Christians to the most spectacular pastor. He went from being the guy who held the coats of the people who stoned Stephen and killed Stephen. He's the guy who went to the authorities and said, hey, can you like write an order for me so that I can go like annihilate the Christians? To having this encounter with Jesus, and his life was radically transformed. So you think, man, you don't know what I've been through? Baby, you read his story. And then he writes these words for you. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Can you say no? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who, what? Loved us. And I am convinced, he says, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor fears for today, nor worries for tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing, can you say nothing? Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing will separate us. Even if we say no to him and we spend a Christless eternity apart from him, you need to know he still loves you. And that's why the Bible tells us that God is being really patient and coming back. Because if you don't know him, he wants you to know him. So he's being slow in coming back. You know, we look around and see how bad the world is and how often we're like, Lord, would you just like come back and like fix all this stuff? Do you know what he says? Not yet. Not yet. Why? Because he is crazy in love with every single person who ever was, ever is, or ever will be. And that includes you. And if you don't know him, he said, I'm being patient in coming back in hopes that you will say yes to me because I love you, I am with you, and I am for you. See, God is working in you, even if you don't know it. He is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. That's what we're told in Philippians 2:13. So here's the essence of the love. Here's how we summarize this love that is crazy for us, that is with us, that is for us. Here's how we summarize it in Galatians 4:4-5. When the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. Do you know why that word adopt is in there? Because he's saying, because I chose you. I chose you. I chose you to be mine. Now, if the first part of St. Francis de Sales didn't blow your mind, I got one more quote. Check this out. Surely we ought ever to remember this and ask fervently, is it possible that I was loved and loved so tenderly by my Savior that he should have thought of me individually and in all these details by which he has drawn me to himself? With what love and gratitude ought I to use all he has given me? See, here's what I believe about Christmas, and here's what I believe about the love of God made real in Jesus, is that our experience of that love, our experience of the Christ of Christmas, will empower us to be love for the world. Our experience of love empowers us to be love. And so my charge every week for the last 4 weeks has been, be hope, be joy, be peace, be love tonight, tonight, and tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next. Be Christmas. The world thinks we only celebrate Christmas one day a week. Here's the good news, y'all. We celebrate Christmas every day. Because when we know Jesus, he has come into our hearts and he comes every day. And our experience of that will not only change us, but it will change our world. So my challenge to you tonight, number one, if you don't know him, he's crazy about you and he wants to know you. If you do know him, you need to share him. Because your experience of him should move you to share him so that our world might be changed. That is the story of Christmas. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your love that has, like, is so revealed both in the Christ of Christmas and the Christ of the cross, because we can't separate the two, because you are the God who stepped out of heaven and stepped onto earth, who lived and died and rose again, who's coming back because you're crazy about us. You love us, and it's your desire that we would know you. And so, Lord, I pray that on this night, on this very special holy night, where we celebrate your birth, God, if there is anybody in here tonight who doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that maybe here or maybe in the quietness of the night when the festivities have died down and the people have gone home and they're laying in their bed and they're just wondering if you're real, that God, I pray that you would make yourself so known to them. That they would fall in love with you because they've heard how crazy you are about them. That it's not a magical thing. It's not, in essence, really even a mysterious thing, but it's just a yes thing. And so if that describes you, if God is like knocking on the door of your heart, I pray that you would just open the door and let him in so that you might experience the abundant life that he has for you and for the rest of you. If your faith has been challenged, if you've even gotten to the point of tonight where you're like, I can't wait for this Christmas thing to be done, well then shame on you. And ask God to renew a right spirit within you, to restore the joy of your salvation, so that you might be Christmas to this world that so desperately needs to hear the good news of the gospel. So Lord, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.